Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine. I'm on episode 312, and I say it like that because this is a quick turn. This is a quick release of a new episode. Y'all know I typically release my episodes Tuesdays and Fridays, and this is a double episode. So hello, you're welcome. But I felt the need to come on here in a span of 12 hours because I have yet another change of heart when it comes to this Amanda Seales situation. I'm a sucker. Yeah, I am a sucker. I'm not even a sucker. I'm a sucker. Whenever someone says they've been left out, they felt misunderstood, they felt like an outsider, they have been bullied, it pulls my heartstrings, y'all. Like, it breaks me. It makes me feel so sad. I feel so empathetic for anyone who says who says these things, and it comes from a place of real experience with those terms, with those words. Like, I've been left out, I've been misunderstood, I've been bullied, I've been felt like an outsider. Like, it just pulls at my heartstrings. And oftentimes within my career, as I work with the youth, I always look out for any inkling of a moment when a student may feel any of those things, when they may feel misunderstood, when they may feel hurt and left out because of that, or left out or hurt because they've been left out and feeling like an outsider and not fitting in. Like, I currently work at an all-girls school, and I am very, very paranoid to make sure I'm checking for any moment of just catty behavior and just uncool behavior where a girl is being isolated or just left out and bullied. And thankfully, I haven't seen any of that in my experience so far there, at least. All of them have been so supportive and a real beautiful sisterhood and community. Anyway, with that being said, like, I know how it feels to be on the negative side of that, right? To not have that community in a school, you know, in a school system, and feeling like you're not a part of something. And it really is a traumatic point in my schooling career as a student. So when Amanda Seales got on Club Shay Shay talking about she was bullied while on the set of Insecure, when she got on Club Shay Shay and said the other girls were basically mean girls to her, when she got on Club Shay Shay and said she would try to be friends with them, she would try to build community with them. She gave some examples about how she gave them gifts and they just said, oh, thanks. She gave examples of when she invited them to her place and they always said no. And like, there were so many other things when she wanted, like when she had the first move, when she gave the first move, when she made the initiative, and she was still rejected. So I think all of that just pulled at me, y'all. And maybe I'm a sucker. But I felt for her. And her starting off this interview by revealing that she's autistic, I was like, okay, that could be the reason why she's had this experience historically, right? And the fact that she was recently diagnosed, according to her, from the interview, that could be the reason why she has been always an outsider or always just felt left out because she was left out. And I started off the last episode saying you know, I want to start off with an apology, but I feel kind of perturbed with her recently coming on her Instagram Live talking about she wasn't clinically diagnosed. Because on the show, it seemed like she was clinically diagnosed. But I want to play something because maybe I didn't pay attention to it in the moment because I was just so committed to sympathizing with her, to empathizing with her. But she she purposely deflected from Shannon Sharpe's direct questioning and asking her, were you clinically diagnosed? Instead of her saying, I was clinically diagnosed, I went to a renowned autism specialist type of doctor and took a series of tests and it was confirmed that I do have autism, she deflected and made it seem like Shannon Sharpe was foolish and rude and invasive to ask the question that he asked. And I fell victim to this because, you know, Shannon Sharpe just be sounding so fucking dumb. Like, hello? Maybe that's my own personal bias. Maybe I gotta work on that racism. But it just seemed like he wasn't trying to listen. It seemed like he didn't ask the question in a way that was clearly asking the question. You know what I mean? Like, he could have said something like, so you saw a doctor and they determined that you were diagnosed with autism. Like, I wish he would have asked straight up. But the way that he asked was just like, hello? Like, were you listening to what she said? And like I said in the last episode, y'all, there was another series of questions in which he asked her, and it was just an odd line of questioning because had he listened, he wouldn't have asked her said question. Like when he talked about, when he mentioned how, oh, so your mom is white. And she's like, no, my mom's not white. Okay, your dad is white. No, my dad's not white. I don't know. It was just so weird. Like, what? There are so many other things. There's so many other examples about that whole interview. Child, hold on. Let's go ahead and play it. Let's play it real quick. So, yeah, we're back on this because this has been just rocking my timeline for a while now. And look at me already. Child. Anyway, let's listen.
A clinical diagnosis.
There are clinical diagnoses.
For you.
Yes, there are clinical diagnoses for autism. Yes.
Yeah, well, I know that.
See what happens is there? She gaslit him. She gaslit him. He did ask her directly. I do remember that question, but I was just so convinced already because she pulled at my heartstrings. Amanda Seales pulled at my heartstrings by saying she's diagnosed with autism. I would assume that she was clinically diagnosed because how dare you come on this large platform and make it seem as if you was professionally clinically diagnosed with something when in all actuality you was not. But at that point, I was already sympathizing with her because again, she was already talking about feeling left out. She was already talking about being misunderstood. So, oh, this is the, you know, I'm always so big on cause and effect. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe because she's autistic or is on the spectrum, that has been the reason why her relationships have looked the way they have. Or, wow, maybe because she just found out that she was autistic, that is why her relationships have looked the way that they have. You know, it was the cause for it.
When you take the test, Mm-hmm. If my father had lived with me, I would never have been the person I am now, because he wouldn't have been able to handle it. And I believe that he is autistic too. He's a brilliant. No, because he.
Not everyone's autistic. My God, today. Everyone's autistic. You got a disorder. You got a disorder. And I really want to get into the fact that we live in such a information friendly accessibility type of world, we could find all of the symptoms to ADHD, to autism, to bipolar disorder, like the list goes on. And because a lot of us, maybe all of us, experience mood swings, we may think, maybe I'm bipolar, right? There's something going on in these social media streets that would really make you feel you do have a clinical diagnosis. Seriously, like you really believe, I have ADHD. I have this, I have that, because, I could relate to that, I could relate to that, I could relate to that. When what Shannon Sharp was saying here, well, you could think differently than me, and you don't necessarily have to be diagnosed, like you don't have to be someone who has autism. I think I didn't want to hear that because I was like, no, this is the reason why Amanda Seales has been insufferable. This is it. She's autistic. This is why she's been a bitch. She's autistic. And this is probably so offensive to the autistic community, but that was my 1+1 moment. That was my, no. This is the, I was so just, I solved the puzzle. I figured out I figured out the crime. This is the reason why.
He's brilliant.
Right.
He was never seen the way he needed to be seen. And so it turned into narcissism.
But you can be brilliant without being autistic though, right?
Hell yeah. 1000%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But just
because I'm both. But I'm gifted and autistic.
Yes, but Amanda, sometimes, just because you have a special gift, that doesn't mean that, you have a spectrum or you have just because you see things differently, it doesn't mean that you're on the spectrum or you.
This isn't related to simply how I see things. This is related to how my brain functions.
Yes. But just because your brain functions differently from, say, mine.
Yes.
So you feel just because your brain functions differently that's what caused it, or there's a clinical diagnosis that
there are clinical diagnoses
for you.
Yes, there are clinical diagnoses for autism. Yes.
Yeah, well, I know
when
that.
When you take the tests,
you see what just happened there. He's asking her specifically for you though. He's aware that there are clinical diagnoses for autism. Like that is an official thing for sure. But he's now asking her directly for you though. Like have you, but what I would have liked in that moment for all clarity was if he said, but for you, have you been clinically diagnosed by a specialized physician? But Shannon Sharp is too. So I'm sorry. I feel like I'm going in on Shannon Sharp. I think he's probably a cool guy, but sometimes he just be talking like, girl, what? But, you know what I mean? Like, had he followed up with the direct question like I just gave y'all, then it would have been clear that she didn't know what she was talking about, or clear that she just got bamboozled by these TikTok videos of, hey, if you have these symptoms, that means you are bipolar. Like that's it. Because again, in the next video, like
no,
I showed y'all before.
No, I have not been clinically diagnosed by a doctor because I'm not paying $10,000. No, I have not been clinically diagnosed by a doctor because I'm not paying $10,000 to do that. And most people will tell you that at this age, you don't need a clinical diagnosis in that sense. And I think that's the other thing. It's like, we are so conditioned here in this nation to really only consider something in one kind of way. And no, I have not.
So there's that. So at least she's not a liar. One thing about Amanda Seales, she's not a liar, because she could have lied and said, no, I was clinically diagnosed. And because at the same time, it's like, you don't have to show us your paperwork that confirms it. And it's just like, you don't. But for her to come on here and say, I actually wasn't diagnosed clinically and still stand 10 toes down, I'm trying to find an understanding with her. I really am. I think there's something's off with her. I think something's off. And I know she has had an estranged relationship with her father from the beginning of her life. Like, since the beginning. She talked about how he abandoned her, even though there's a photo of her and him and her mom together as a family photo. That was when she was super young. And it seemed to be that he walked out on her life very early on and has not been present in her life ever since, has not tried to make a relationship happen or has been inconsistent. I don't know if he's deceased now. Either way, I think the damage from that abandonment has struck her in such a way that she is damaged goods. And I hate to say that. I'm sorry. You know, you want to think positive about people, about yourself, and have this growth mindset. But I think she's damaged goods, y'all. And this is me feeling, me having this big heart. I feel sorry for her. I hate to say pity, but I just feel sorry for her. I feel like she is someone who is trying to fit in, when she's with other people, whether it's at work or just in different environments, she has said herself that she's tried to build community, but nobody likes her. And she got to a point in the interview, she talked about Vanessa Anderson, who is Issa Rae's publicist. And she talked about the story how she was kicked out from the party. And Vanessa Anderson, they eventually talked on the phone. And Vanessa said, yeah, I didn't want you in the party. Like, you wasn't invited. You wasn't welcome to come in. I kicked you out. And the reason why I kicked you out is I don't like you. That was it. That was the reason. Now, Amanda Seales, in response to that on the phone, she said, okay, well, that's all I needed to know. And she hung up the phone. Vanessa calls her back and she says, don't you want to know why I don't like you? Don't you want to, like, gain some understanding? And Amanda Seales said, that's none of my business. You not liking me is a personal problem for you to handle, basically. I'm paraphrasing that last part, but that's basically what she's saying. And I've heard this a lot, y'all, how people will be like, how you feel about me or what you say about me is none of my business. And I still kind of don't understand that still. I think I'm trying to understand it more, or I've gained a little bit understanding of it in a sense of, oh, that's your own thought process. Like, what's going on in your mind is your personal business. It's not mine, right? So I think that's what it means when people say that. How you feel about me is none of my business. Like, huh? How is that none of mine? Okay. So I think it's that, because it's your feelings. Is on you. Whatever you decided is the reason to not like me, that's because you have your own feelings about it. But then that brings me to my next point. What could you have done differently in your approach to this person? What were some behavioral patterns that you demonstrated to Vanessa Anderson and whomever else that made that person and all these people not like you and deem you to be unlikable? Like, what is that? And I think that is an opportunity for understanding. That is an opportunity to be in their personal business about their feelings towards you. Now, granted, there are people who are just like simply haters. They don't like you because they just already decided not to, right? You can't handle those people. But I think ultimately, if you're getting the same rhetoric time and time again, have some self-reflection. And I thought she demonstrated that, and maybe she is growing in that, Amanda Seales. Like, maybe she is growing in that, because in this interview with Club Shay Shay, She said, when she saw her therapist about it, and she told her therapist, people say I'm unlikable, nobody likes me, I don't understand why. And then she goes on to say she likes to tell the truth. She likes to keep it real and be honest and say what's on her mind. And her therapist had to tell her, don't say everything that's on your mind right now, right? Like, don't, you don't have to speak everything that you think of every time you think of it. You don't have to speak it out loud. And I guess that really hit for her. She really understood that and decided to take that into account. So I thought, okay, man, this is Amanda Seales finally taking some level of accountability. And maybe she is in some sense, but I think ultimately it still sounded like, oh, y'all are the problem, not me. Because y'all can't handle the truth, because y'all can't handle who I am. That's why I gotta be quiet. So I'm just gonna be quiet. I'm gonna be the, because throughout the interview, she talked about how she had to be the bigger person and dim her light on several instances. She reached out to Issa Rae, begging for her to find some resolution between her and Vanessa Anderson. She reached out to, you know, other people trying to be the bigger, Floetry, Marsha Ambrosius. She was the one who tried to just find some understanding. And she said, I'll dim my light. I dim my light. So I think in her head, Amanda's thinking, okay, everyone's just not on the same path as me. I'll just dim my light. You know, instead of saying, you know what I said was some fucked up shit, or hey, you know what, I have been rude and curt and dismissive towards many people, and that led to those people deciding not to like me. You know what I mean? So in that conversation with Vanessa Anderson, Issa Rae's publicist, who purposely kicked her out of that party and said, you are not welcomed here. That could have been an opportunity for Amanda to humble herself and say, you know what? Tell me more. Tell me why. Why don't you like me? And it's a hard truth to swallow. It is. She talked about, and I played it last episode, so I don't think I need to play it now. But she talked about how she talked about how when she was in college, the first day she was, first day she went on campus, she went to her dorm, she shared with, or her suite, and she shared it with three other girls. And when she got to her door, her name was taken down from the door. And she explains the story like she was so taken off guard, like, this is my first day. These people don't even know me. And they already have this hatred towards me. And she just couldn't understand why. So she decided to say, hey, I'm going to buy a bottle of tequila and I want everyone to tell me why you don't like me. What? All the times when I've like felt like an outsider in high school, in middle school, I never said, hey, I'm a bot. I mean, at the time, I couldn't obviously buy a bottle of tequila, but I never said, hey, let's go around in a circle and talk about why you don't like me. You know how hard that was? I would just break down. But with Amanda Seales, I think there's something off. Something's off with her. Like, she doesn't understand. The emotional intelligence is not there. It's just off. It's very off. Something's off. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a specialist in these disorders, but I do think something's off of her. I think she is someone who is simply unhealed from trauma that stems from her childhood. On the show, she talks about she's about to release an upcoming episode on her podcast about her sexual assault experience. And I was like, why did she even start off like that? Why did she say, oh, basically like, hey, look out, soon to come, I'm going to talk about being sexually assaulted. Don't you want to hear, don't you want to watch me more? I'm talking about being sexually, like, it just felt like a, hey, come here. It was off, y'all. God, I got bamboozled. Oh, I just had to come back on here, y'all, and talk about this some more. Hold on. Let me play this updated video. So she comes on her live. And mind you, I used to follow her. I used to be on her page. I used to follow her Instagram. Because I admire her education. I admire the degrees that she have. I admire how she is an academic. I love school. Hello? I love school. I love learning. I love degrees. I love being an educator. So whenever someone else is demonstrating that sense of love as well, you got me. Follow. Okay? But because I'm so empathetic and I really feel energy and like just the feeling that you give off, she became very insufferable because every time I would tune into her story or her posts on her Instagram, she was always mad. Something is off, y'all. She was always mad. She was always angry. Let me go ahead and play this real quick.
So now the class act, baller alert, yet another black space, because there is such a dedicated effort to degrade me and defame me. It is beyond my scope of comprehension. Want to suggest that because my autism diagnosis did not come from a clinician, that it is not valid. What's not valid is people speaking on things that they don't know about. And my autism diagnosis is not for you all to discuss. It's not up for your debate. And anyone who is speaking on or trying to invalidate diagnosis that comes outside of a clinician is only revealing that they actually don't know anything about autism diagnosis or autism. So I just want to once again thank you all for the love. And this is further proof of why we as Black people, particularly in Black media spaces, we are our own worst enemy. And I guess, again, it's just another day of being on the fringe and being in the margins. And anyone who comes in my comments to try to defame me and degrade me, you'll simply be blocked.
Okay. So beware, y'all. You're going to be blocked. She also then releases a post. And in this post are words. She recounts what was said during the interview. So it says, Shannon. So this is what Shannon says to her. But have you been clinically diagnosed? Amanda responds and says, yes. There is a clinical diagnosis for autism. He then hung his head and exhaled in frustration because I did not answer his question. That is called deflection. See what I said? Why? Because I was not going to be pressured by this man who was interrogating me with absolutely zero love for me into proving something to him that L, by his line of questioning, he had already committed to undermining. I understand my response may be confusing to some, but I am clarifying it as I did it my live, and that is enough. Ciao. I feel sorry for her. I'm sorry. I just have such a big heart. I feel sorry for her. Something's off for her. I wish her no ill will. You know, like I hope that, because she mentioned how she struggled with suicide. And I wish Shannon would have like added on to that. Maybe he just didn't feel like talking to her anymore. He probably was just like, oh, this bitch, I'm just sick of her. But I wish that, you know, again, like, I feel like Shannon Sharpe could have communicated a little bit better in different moments. But he dropped the ball in some of these moments. So when she said, when she like briefly threw out there that she is, that she had a panic attack and good thing she's on Lexapro and she was suicidal during the time when all these publications came at her, quote unquote. And he didn't say anything. So she mentioned, remember when that, okay, there we go. Hubris. I remember reading that before. It means to have a lot of pride, an exaggerated amount of pride or self-confidence. And I bring that up because one of the articles that was released recently about Amanda Seales calling her out, the headline said, Amanda Seales is a victim of her own hubris. And Amanda Seales was like, so she talked about it in the interview with Club Shay Shay. She was like, you don't even know what hubris means. Hubris means a mythological character who picked up a glass or fell into a pond because he was so enamored with himself. And he was, and she went on and on about this like fictional story rather than just talking about the direct definition of what hubris means. And in that moment, had Shannon Sharpe had the tools, knew the definition, he would have been like, okay, but directly, according to Wikipedia or according to dictionary.com, hubris means one with exaggerated pride or self-confidence. Have you demonstrated at any point hubris according to this definition? Nobody's fucking talking about a mythological character, Amanda Seales. Like, girl, what are you saying? You know, and then in those moments, she comes off like this, oh, I'm just this know-it-all. I know about the origin of these words. Like, girl, anyone can figure out the definition of a word and the etymology of that word as well. You are not any special than anyone else. Child, and this is... These degrees that we acquire in America, we really feel like we are better than other. I'm coming off like a hypocrite. I'm just realizing this as I'm saying this out loud because I've been talking shit about Shannon Sharpe. But sometimes he's just be dropping the fucking ball. He's good at football, but he be dropping the ball during these interviews or this interview in particular that I'm really focused on right now. Nonetheless, there is a level of ego that one has like developed because of, oh, I have these degrees. I'm a master. I was taught by the most incredible thought leaders of our generation. I'm an expert at African American studies. Like, girl, you took a Harlem Renaissance class. It's not that deep. Hello? Now, a lot of these FBAs, Foundation of Black Americans, or ADOs, however you want to identify yourself as, they have a problem with Amanda Seales because she is seen as a tether. This is a common terminology used on Black people who have a Caribbean ethnic background, like who aren't born in, I mean, technically she is American. She is Black American because she was born in America, in Orlando, Florida, to be specific. But her parents, her mom in particular, she was born in Grenada. So if you want to look at it from the standpoint of an FBA or an ADOS, she is half tethered and half FBA because her mom is from another country. She's not from America. But her dad, I was like, oh my gosh. She said her dad is from Roxbury, Boston, Massachusetts. I was like, girl, what? Any nigga from Roxbury, Massachusetts? Especially during the time when he became her father, like when he had her. Yeah, all of them need to be shot. Shots. Do you hear me? And I hate to say that because I am a Bostonian, right? I grew up in Boston. That's my hometown. But Boston men, absolutely not. Especially during that time period, toxic as heck. Toxic as heck. Just poor communicators. If I want to just like give them just a clear description. Well, you're generalizing. No, I know. Okay, I know. I have older people in my life from Roxbury, Massachusetts. No, you don't want to be from Roxbury, Massachusetts. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. And when I was living in Boston, the goal was to never date someone from Roxbury, Massachusetts, okay? Child, don't even go to Roxbury. I'm from Dorchester, which is like actually a neighborhood next to Roxbury. But yeah, it's best to just keep away. Boston Bay is from Boston. And I want to say he's actually from, was it a Roxbury project? He was either from Roxbury or Dorchester itself, okay? So I stand corrected. Any man, any black man, even white man too, but any man from Roxbury, Dorchester, those areas of Boston, stay away. Stay away from me, Apollo. Stay away from me. So, yeah. Anyway, Amanda Seals, my God, I wish you healing. I really do. I need to take a break from her because it's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind. And shout out to Harriet Eve 9 on X, formerly known as Twitter, who has been on her neck. She has been on her neck. Someone said here, she said there are clinical diagnoses, not she has been clinically diagnosed. And trust, she will use that nuance for her defense. She's good at using words to confuse people, manipulation at its best. Absolutely. And you have suckers like me who would fall victim to, oh my God, it's like these particular like tropes, these particular words that will purposely have you feeling for her and have you forget that she has done some harmful things in the past or has said some harmful things. If you want to reference back to Myron Roll, who was accused by her of being sexually assaulting or sexually harassing her or other women in particular, actually, she never came forth and clarified or apologized for the miscommunication, none of that. You know, so, and it's like Shannon Sharp, did you have the tools to, you know, I don't know. And that's the thing that just really annoyed me about Shannon Sharp. He could have done better. He didn't communicate as effectively as he could in certain moments. And that's why there's a lot of like pushback. There was a point in the interview when, when Amanda talks about how, did you know I'm a comic? I'm gonna see if I can find that, y'all. That shit was hilarious. She's like, did you know I'm a comic? I'm like really good. I had to realize that I know I'm really good. And she says how she's really good and she doesn't even need to prepare anymore. She just gets on stage and she kills it. And I was cringing watching this YouTube because I was like, girl, what? What do you mean you don't prepare? What do you mean you just, I don't know. It's just like, nope. I've never heard anyone talk about Amanda Seals as this really funny comic. I'm sorry, I haven't. These things are tricky because I don't like to diminish other people's creativity and other people's gifts and other people's skill set. I think that's unfair. You know, as artists, we're sensitive about our shit in any capacity, however we express ourselves. So, okay, if you think you're really funny, then Yeah, go you. Like, that's how I am. I'm gonna support you, or I'll just be quiet. Either way, I just don't want to go in. I remember Andrew Schultz talked about her. Well, he didn't really talk about her in detail because he said he doesn't like to comment on other people's on other comics. He doesn't like to comment on their work. He doesn't like to like badmouth them. So he has been quiet about her and her work. So I think that says a lot without saying it, right? I think that says that he doesn't think she's funny. He doesn't think she's a comedian like that. And even in the video, she talked about her comedy is a TED Talk / comedy show. Like, child, what? A TED Talk? I don't want to see an old TED Talk. I'm gonna see if I can find that. Amanda Seals Comedy Club. Shay, Shay. Oh, too many words. I don't know if it's gonna pick up on my Twitter. Let's see. But that, I remember watching that. I was like, girl, what? Pretty girl. Okay, so let's see if I can find that. But anyway, there was another clip I wanted to show y'all. Hold on. Okay, hold on. When I tell you I have been getting my life about this topic, about this whole situation on Twitter, about Amanda Seals, this has been so entertaining. This has been so fucking entertaining. Everyone's like writing a whole just two-piece article, which is necessary. Don't get me wrong, but it was just so interesting. Okay, I'm gonna play this other clip that I found that must have just been released. So let's go ahead and listen to why Gilbert Arenas thinks Amanda Seals is single at 42 years old.
Dealing with, but I ain't got no problem with Amanda Seals. She was great. She's very funny. She has, and I do believe some of the people have done her wrong. And
that's the thing, like, funny, humor, comedy, all of that is subjective, right? So she may be very funny to some people, but so I don't want to take that away. That's the ultimate thing I want to say here. But I think about, like, you know, when you think of comics, if you call yourself a stand-up comic, it should be obvious that you are, right? Instead of you saying, like, when she was on the interview with Club Shay, like, she was saying, did you know I'm a comic? Did you know I'm a comic? Like, if you have to say, did you know I'm a comic? That's weird. Because your comedy should speak for itself. Like, you should immediately just demonstrate this humor. And yes, her style of comedy. And oh my gosh, she talked about how, y'all, I'm gonna find a damn clip, y'all. Hold on. She talked about how she, let me stop sharing real quick. She talked about how she always kills when she's on stage, and how she had to, she's taken a couple of L's, but she said, I just took an L because that group, that audience didn't understand my style of comedy. You notice, like, again, it's y'all. It's not me. Y'all are too slow. Y'all are too dense. Y'all don't have the intellectual wherewithal to get how funny I am. Oh, I'm so funny. You know what I mean? So it's like, girl, what? Let's see if I can find it. I think it's this one. Ciao. Exactly. Child, hold on. But anyway, nonetheless, she's insufferable. She is. I mean, that still stands. But let me finish that clip. So, Ocho Cinco, Gilbert Arenas. Mind you, when I first learned who Gilbert Arenas was, not even first learned who he was, when I first heard his name, I didn't think it was actually a name of a person. I thought it was like a name of an establishment, of a venue. Like Gilbert Arenas? Doesn't that sound like a venue, the place that you'll go to watch the last game? But it's an actual person. He's a person, y'all.
I think a lot of because that's what you deal with. We all go through it. Dealing with men or women, mm-hmm. you're not dating them. You're dating their childhood, their mm-hmm. past traumas. Mm-hmm. That's what you, that's
it right there. Hello? I'm a genius. I figured it out. He said it. Basically, because of Amanda Seale's childhood and the trauma that she's experienced from the loss, not the loss, but the abandonment of her father, and essentially the loss of what could have been a great relationship in her life and the shaping of who she could have been. Because she said herself, had her father been in her life, she wouldn't be who she is now. And she said it like a flex, like, I want to be the amazing person that I am today if my father was in my life. Like, girl, maybe you would have been better. Maybe you still would have been this smart, you know, very talented. And all of that is still true. And your father probably would have, not even probably, he would have molded you into a respectful young lady. He would have told you this behavior is acceptable and this is not. Cut that shit out. No child of mine is going to go around acting like she's one of the adults. Remember how she mentioned the story of how she corrected the teacher? And yes, she happens to be the only Black girl in the class, the only Black student in that class. And despite her having exemplary behavior, apparently, throughout the years of school and in that class, she still feels like, well, I wasn't disrespectful. I've been a model student. So this teacher reacting this way towards me is because of my skin. You're a racist. And again, I was already convinced at that point that she was this victim, that she was someone who had been villainized. And it's because of her late diagnosis of autism. So I think it was an act of manipulation. I think it was Amanda coming in with an agenda to start off this interview. Because it was the first 20 minutes, y'all. The first 20 minutes of the interview, that's when she already told us she's autistic. So she came into this interview with this agenda to garner sympathy, to garner support, to make it seem like, no, this is beyond me, y'all. I'm not this rude person. I'm not this insufferable person that you think of. I am autistic. That's why. And I was convinced. I was like, okay, well, she talked about these symptoms of autism, and she said that she's been demonstrating these symptoms all her life, and her mother could attest to that. And all, look, I give people the opportunity to explain themselves. And she was on this show explaining herself. And it was annoying to me when Shannon Sharp kept cutting her off, or it seemed like he just wasn't giving her the platform as he did when Cat Williams was on. He let Cat Williams rock for the most part. So I was just taking, I'm trying to explain myself to y'all. This is why I've decided to come on soon after releasing Friday's episode. I came back on here again because, yeah, Amanda Seale's got me fucked. She got me fucked up. She has a song that's called Y'all Niggas Got Me Fucked Up. How about Amanda Seale's Got Me Fucked Up? That's the title of this episode. I got it. She got me fucked up. She got all of us fucked up. She played with our emotions. I know I'm not the only one who felt so much sympathy and empathy for her when she talked about feeling left out and being a victim of these mean girls. Now, look, she probably was. I don't want to deny that. Maybe that was the case. I know Issa Rae comes off very likable and she plays the part and she's done great things and she's doing great things in Hollywood. I think her presence is needed, but it doesn't mean that she can't be a villain in someone else's story. And this someone else happens to be Amanda Seales. I think two things could be true. But I also want to unpack what led to that. Are these girls just being so mean to her out of nowhere? It could be the case. Yes, adult women have and can be catty just as they probably were back in high school. So I don't know. I just feel like two things could be true here. I think she is insufferable and she has a lot of faults within her own that she still hasn't humbled herself to recognize. And she has been victimized by other people and she has been wronged by other people and she hasn't been protected as she should. I just think she's off her rocker, Charles. She's off her rocker.
That's what you got to get past. So I'm excited. I was excited to have her. She was great. She taught me a lot of things. But she's highly, 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 highly educated. She's real versed. She can sing. She's a comedian. She's a writer.
Is she married?
No, she's not married. She's not married.
The same day, huh?
I mean, yes. I'm listening to you list all the qualities that she has, yeah. And I'm just curious if she was married because that. I mean, that sounds like that's a great catch for someone.
Yeah. No, that sounds like some flaws for some men. Because as educated as she is,
right?
Yeah.
She's there's a standard of a man that she's looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's not on the same educational level as her, she's gonna down on. And but that is if they're more educated than her. Then they talking down to her. Right. So these are the type of women that will typically be single because they can't find the equal partner to they are.
She wants someone that's versed. She wants someone that's inquisitive. She wants someone that wants to travel. I mean, look, to each his own.
And there we have it. Gilbert Arena's theory that it's highly sought of. No, I mean... Is he wrong? I don't think so. I think he makes a very good point. But here's the thing. There's a question that was asked when this post got released. Someone said, Boyce Watkins, Dr. Boyce Watkins, he says, which of these dudes is married again? I'm trying to remember. And he's clearly being funny here because neither of them are married themselves. Ocho Cinco has been married. Don't get me wrong. He has been married. All of them have, I think Gilbert Arenas have, I'm sure he has kids. All of them have kids. And so the point that he's making is, okay, well, y'all not married. What the fuck y'all talking about? I know Ocho Cinco is engaged. And he was married to Evan Lozada, or he was just engaged to her. Either way, they were close to it at the very least. There is a different standard for women when it comes to our worth and value, and how if we're not married or with child at the very least, then something must be off with us. Something must be wrong, especially being at a certain age. I do hate that type of conversation style or that type of thinking because it comes off very lazy. And it leaves no room for nuance. But the pick me inside, the pick me that I got right deep inside my chest. I agree, y'all. I think there is some truth to that. When you're someone who is so gung-ho about being this highly educated, highly well-versed and well-cultured and well-traveled woman, Renaissance woman, all of that is commendable, but how are you viewing your partner to be in relationship with you? You know, are you expecting him to be this perfect guy with no faults of his own, or are you not? I don't know. I don't know her intimate relationships. I don't know how she acts in her relationships. I think she has, well, I know she said during the interview that she is soft in her relationships. Like, she doesn't, the yelling that we see of her so many times on social media, she says she's not like that with her man. That's kind of hard to believe, though. Kind of hard to believe. She's very convincing on the phone. She's like, I'm just yelling at the phone. I'm not yelling at my man. She strikes me as the type to not know how to turn that off. She does. She really does. And until she could get that in check, the only man that she could only grab are simps. I really do. And I hate using that term, simp. But, you know, just someone who is a beta. You know, a bitch-ass nigga. Just a bitch-ass nigga. That's who she could get, a bitch-ass nigga. And even them, even they will be like, all right, girl, I'm going to have to head out. I'm going to have to. I got a frog in my throat. What the? I'm going to have to head out. So, you know, there's something to that. But yeah, I always cringe whenever men would be like, oh, why don't you have a, like, I remember when I used to get asked that question before. I haven't gotten asked that in a while now, thankfully. But I was so like, I don't fucking know. How about that? How about that? So yeah, some things are out of your control. Some things are just how the cookies are crumbled. But in this case, they're right. In this case, I could see it being the actual factual news here. Shawty swing my way. Child. But yeah, she's insufferable. I wish her well, and I wish her healing. At this point, I'm exhausted. Let's move on. Let's move on. I mean, at this point, we're 58 minutes. Another hour. God damn it. God damn it. Oh, I want to talk about all these tweets, though. So there's a tweet that came out in response to this whole situation, and it says, thinking a 40-year-old virgin would be nice is crazy. This is in reference to Yvonne Orji, who plays the character Molly in Insecure. Y'all know I talked about Molly before. Molly. I talked about Yvonne Orji a few times on this podcast. And my disapproval, disappointment, lack of support. Like, I do not support her being a 40-year-old virgin. I don't. I think it's. Hold on. I think it's dumb. At the very least, I think it's something that is dumb. I don't know what other word to say that's befitting right now, but dumb is the word. This tweet saying thinking a 40-year-old virgin would be nice is crazy, because according to what Amanda Seale says, the girls of Insecure were mean girls. They were mean to her. They excluded her. They didn't make her feel like she belonged. They were just nasty towards her. And someone who hasn't experienced sexual pleasure from another partner, right? Let's say Yvonne Orji has experienced sexual pleasure with herself, right? Let's give her at least that. But the way that she comes off, very like nerdish and Nigerian, I swear I'm not racist, but there are certain cultural groups that when they're just like when they lack certain human experiences, they become very nasty. They become very nasty, very rude. Okay, that's for Haitians, that's for Nigerians, like that's for a lot of ethnic groups, Black ethnic groups. Okay, her being Nigerian and a 40-year-old virgin, yeah, that's not a good recipe. That cake should go in the trash. It's what, girl, get you to get some fucking, she's a pretty girl. She's a pretty girl. I think Yvonne Orji's a pretty girl. I do. I like her skin. I like her big smile. I think she's a pretty, she could get somebody. There's somebody for anybody. Like, anyone could get anybody. I don't care how you look, period. So don't miss me with that. Miss me with the, oh, I've been the ugly girl, or no. I promise you could get anybody. There's somebody for you. Especially her having, you know, this fame and, I don't know. Anyway, so she's a virgin still. She dated Emmanuel Akko, who is a fellow African. I think he's Nigerian as well, because that's all there is. Y'all, it's a joke. But that is all there is. Have you met a Ghanaian? Okay, well, what's Issa Sinhalese? But that's not the point. The point is there are more Nigerians than there are any other African group. Okay? So shout out to Nigeria. Hello. But yeah, her being Nigerian and a 40-year-old virgin. Yeah, of course she's a mean girl. Of course Yvonne Orji's a mean girl. Is everybody okay? Of course. Like, she's going through a lot right now. She hasn't had time to have sex. Not even haven't had time, but her reasoning is based on religion. And obviously, I'm rolling my eyes super hard, but anyway. Yeah. I just, at this point, Amanda Seals, just God bless. Okay, I want to talk about my hair real quick, because I think I'm going through a hair depression. I'm just not liking anything when it comes to my hair right now. I'm not liking the styles that I've been doing. The last two styles that I had, like, professionally. I literally got my hair done. I went to the hair salon the other day. And I left. And I was like, okay, what the fuck is this? And maybe I should have been more communicative about the style that I wanted, or maybe I should have picked a different style. I don't know. I just feel like some things could have been done better. And as you see now, my hair is what it is. And if you're a Black girl, you understand. Black man, maybe you probably don't get it, and that's fine. Maybe it's not for you to get. My mind. Oh, the thing went off real quick. You can still hear me. Because my mind, when it comes to my hair in particular, there is insecurity, and I hate to put out in the zeitgeist, I really do, but there are just something I wish, like, I wish my hair was longer. I wish my hair, like, the way my hair was when I was growing up, I can't even fucking, I don't know. It's just so, like, literally, I put in a ponytail, like, an awkward length. At this point, I just wanted to be like, you know, hey, hello, it's me. I'm still a bad bitch. Like, that still remains. But the point is, like, I want to just get up and go, start my day. But I'm always worried about, I don't know if I like my hair. Anyway, does anyone else feel that same way? But that's a real thing that Black girls go through. But okay, see? I read it somewhere, but there's an actual definition for it. So it is called hair depression. It is called, let me just share this on the screen real quick in case you are interested. But Black girls, we, like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why I remember when I came out here a while ago and I was like, in one of my clips on YouTube, the YouTube short, my hair is poofy hair. I have Afro textured hair, which is fine. I love my hair. I love the tech. I don't want to change my texture. What I would like for convenience sake is to have a consistent hairstyle that I can feel confident with every time I wake up. Like every time I'm about to get ready for work, my outfit's bomb. I do like my body, but sometimes I get a little like, oh, this is new. Everything is a little bit more curvaceous. Nonetheless, I'm pleased with that. That's fine. But it's my hair that I get to a point where I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, that's how I feel. Like, damn, what the fuck, dog? And as impulsive as I am in my personality, I'm the type to be like, well, you know what? Fuck it. Take this whole hair off. But no, I'm not going to do that. But you know what I mean? Like, I spent $290. I spent $290 on braids that I got like 3-4 weeks ago now. Typically with braids, Black women, you know what I'm talking about. They stay for months. You could have a braid hairstyle, like box braids, knotless braids. You could have those hairstyles in your hair for 2 months at the very least. I took them out in 2.5 weeks. It wasn't even a half. 2 and a day. 2 weeks and a day. I took it out. It probably wasn't a full 2 weeks. I took it out. I went back to that salon. Well, they have a different branch. So I went to the other branch and had them remove it because I just didn't like how it turned out. I tried a new color. If you guys could go back to those videos, there are only 2 videos of me with that hairstyle. And I think this is like, you know how there's body dysmorphia? I think there's a hair dysmorphia, a hairstyle dysmorphia. I think that has to be a real thing. Because you see a hairstyle that someone else has and you're like, oh, that hairstyle looks so good. I want to do it on my hair. And then when that same hairstyle is done on my hair, I'm like, oh, this isn't how I thought it'll turn out. This is like, you know, there's a whole meme on the internet talking about what I bought and what I got versus, yeah, what I bought versus what I got. Or what I wanted to have versus what I got, you know, however it's worded. And that's how it is with my hair. These hairstyles lately, the hairstyle I wanted to have versus what I got. This is what I got. My hair sticking out. The thickness is admirable. I love thick hair. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful to have thick, strong hair, but it's so difficult to style because when I want to just like put it in a ponytail, because it's at an awkward length, the ponytail holder is going to fall out. I literally got a hairstyle done a day or two ago, actually, from the time of this recording. She put multiple bands in my hair to achieve this hairstyle. It's all my real hair. I didn't decide to add on any fake hair this time for like these type of hairstyle. I decided to just do my real hair. I want to say like 3 hours later, y'all, the hairband just popped out. It literally just popped out. And I'm like, what the fuck? I go to a workout class in the morning because I've been going to workout classes consistently lately, which has been great for my body, for my mental health. It's been really great. During the workout class, the rest of the hair bands, boop, pop out. I know my hair is thick, but what was done that these hair bands have already popped out of my hair? I was so upset and I didn't want to text my hairstylist like, hey, the hairstyle just came apart an hour later. So I just, you know, now my hair is as if it was never at the hair salon. That's how I'm feeling. Now I'm feeling like I'm looking into sew-ins. That's really how I'm feeling. Just like my real hair right now is just, I guess we're beefing. I don't know. But there's this, okay, so hair depression. It can be defined as the period in which a woman's hair is not done, therefore resulting in mood swings, random episodes of crying, anxiety, etc. This can also come as a result of skin breakouts, a bad makeup day, not having your nails or lashes done, etc. So here are some examples. Jazz, I hate my life. I feel so fucking ugly. I hate everything. Gets hair, lashes, nails, etc. done. Jazz, you glow different when you move different. Back on my boss shit. You hoes can't touch this. What happened there, y'all? Let's break this down. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you could see this example here. Jazz initially is this insecure, highly irritated person. She feels ugly. Not even ugly. She feels fucking ugly. She hates everything. Everybody sucks. I hate my life. That is what Jazz is saying here. Next scene. She gets her hair. She gets her lashes. She gets her nails and she gets it done. She says next, you glow different when you move different. Ooh, you see the nail polish emoji. And she says, back on my boss shit. You hoes can't touch this. What does that mean, city girls? What does that mean? It means she's feeling good about herself. She has some self-confidence. She feels untouchable. And why is that? Because she got her hair done. She got her lashes done. And she got her nails done. And whatever else done. The other parts to this, I don't care. I'm not a lash girl. I feel like y'all be looking like, what is that character from Sesame Street? Let's see if I can find her. Not the Cookie Monsters, but there's one Sesame Street character, there's a character. Oh, Snuffleupagus? Okay, well, yeah, oof, that's scary. That shit is terrifying. But yeah, you look like a Muppet. You look like a fucking Muppet, okay? Some of y'all, not everyone, but even the ones who like, they never had long eyelashes or like very visible eyelashes. Obviously you have eyelashes. You wouldn't like what? That's a part of your makeup as a person, but suddenly it's more visible and it stands out. It just looks so funny. Like, okay, bitty boop bop, bitty boop bop. So I've never really been big on eyelashes. I've done it. Don't get me wrong. I've done it several times throughout my life, just growing up as a young girl trying to like be on trend and feeling pressure to follow the societal standard and norm. So I've done falsies, but I've never done it where they put actual lashes on each strip done by a professional. I've only done the strips. And even the strips, I always just felt off with it. It just didn't feel good. Anyway, so I haven't done it in a long time. And so that's not big on my what I need to do to be back on my boss shit. Nails, not really. My feet, I get it done or either I'll do it myself. I do like to have color on my toenails. I feel like it just makes it look better. I like my feet though, don't get me wrong. I'm not like one of those girls who's good. I had a college roommate who just didn't, I've never seen her feet, never. She purposely wore closed-toe shoes. I never saw the back of her feet either. Like all of her shoes were closed. When she would walk around the apartment, she would have these socks on that purposely covered her toes and the back of her feet. It was this weird insecurity, and I never brought it up. I wonder why. I should have brought it up, but she was just a little off. Always like a victim about something too, on that Amanda Seale shit. But shout out to her. But yeah, she never show her feet. Never show her feet. I was like, what is up with that? I love my feet. I love having feet. If I could walk around barefooted, I would. Like, I wish we could go back to those days. You feel more grounded. You feel more connected. I love feet. My feet. Not to say I'm like on other people's feet. I love to touch my man's feet. Like, that's fine. But yeah, there's no weirdness with that. Some people are just like, oh, I hate feet. It's just like, grow up. You got feet, right? You got a pair? Anyway, so none of that is really the big deal. It's my hair. It's my hair, y'all. And again, if you know, you know. If you are a Black woman listening to this or watching this right now, you feel me. You know what I'm talking about. So whenever we get our hair done and it looks good, it looks according to what we want for ourselves, then it does boost our confidence. It doesn't mean that we're suddenly this insecure person who never had so. It's not that. Like, I do know I'm a beautiful woman inside and out. That still remains. But not having your hair done and it not being done to your liking, and it hasn't been for a while now, and you're kind of stuck in a standstill, it really does play a role in just how you feel. It really does. It really does. Like, I have my outfits down packed. I love my style. I love everything else, but it's just my fucking hair. And how can you hide that, right? I can only wear so many fucking turbans. I don't know how many turbans I need to wear. I look good in a turban, in the head wraps. I've been ordering some. I've only ordered one, but I'll order some more from this website called Femme Jam. This is Haitian woman. Femme Jam means strong woman in Haitian Creole. And on this site, she sells different head wraps. Very well quality, very, very strong quality, beautiful styles. I only have one head wrap from that site, from her shop. And I plan on getting more. She lives in Austin. So next time I'm in Austin, I'm gonna see if I can find her shop. I don't know if she has an actual brick and mortar, but shout out to her, Femme Jam. But yeah, hair depression is what is going on. So if you see me right now, because you're watching this YouTube video, you see how my hair is looking. I put this headband on. I got this headband from, I think, the hair store. I didn't get it from my actual, like, shop, you know, from Femme Jam. But this is how I'm feeling. I'm just like, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. I can't fit in a ponytail. The only hairstyles that work with me with my texture like this and this hair texture and the length that I have, that's what I meant to say. The length that I have, I was like, it's kind of awkward because the top is long, but the bottom is short. It's not because of breakage. That's not it. My hair is healthy. Actually, cut off, my hairstyle is cut off the split ends that I had. So my hair is pretty healthy. It's good. It's just at a different length. Anyway, I'm going through hair depression. So let's end it there on a high note. I've been bamboozled by Amanda Seales because I have a big heart and I think something is off with her. I am not a diagnosis. So I can't diagnose her with anything, but I could theorize that it's due to her being abandoned by her father at a young age and that never being reconciled. She has a lot of anger. She has a lot of pent up rage and frustration. And it's hard. It's hard to even watch. And I don't even know her personally. Remember that minor interaction I had with her back in the day when she visited my undergrad, University of New Haven? Shout out to UNH. And she was just like very standoffish. Not standoff, that's not the word I want to say. She was just rude, very directly rude when I didn't like accept her call to action during her performance. Anyway, it was so long ago. I'll bring that up. But yeah, so she's not clinically diagnosed with autism. And I think she manipulated us. And I definitely fell victim to that. But I decided to come on here with an update and say maybe she doesn't deserve an apology. Now, do I feel like I want to just continue smearing her? Not necessarily, but the truth remains, there's humbling that needs to be done when it comes to her. And yeah, an hour and 19 minutes. We've been this was an emergency episode about Amanda Seales. My God. Anyway, let's wrap it up here. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to my supporters. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast. I love it when you guys let me know that you're listening. You know, whether you're engaged in the comments or you retweet something that I say, not retweet, but you just like mention whatever I say on whatever platform that's being used. I really appreciate that. So thank you for your support, and I will check in with y'all next time. Peace.